Hello, happy site owners and webmasters. Welcome to the Blog Game Tips Tuesday podcast for February 16th, 2021. And I'm your host, Mayanna. Tips this week include tips for writing blog drafts in Google Docs, whether having a blogging schedule helps or hurts your productivity, why I'm glad to hear WordPress is scaling back on planned releases for this year, what I'm testing with lazy load for iframes is coming in WordPress 5.7, finally, enhancements and stability improvements are coming for reusable blocks. When full site editing will become a minimal viable product, the future of all WordPress themes, ADA and UX live workshop in the DIY SEO course this week, an update on progress with the video SEO course, an update on my deep speed test case study, how I'm letting my own clients write the messaging on Blockade, and the status of my site service waitlist and who's on it and who's not. So let's dive in. I hope you'll join me for tonight's live stream at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Blockade Facebook page. It's a great way to get the deeper story on what's reported in Tips Tuesday. And I almost always have breaking news for the day too, so come join us for the live party or catch the replay here on Tips Tuesday. And a note about who I help. All tips, advice, and suggestions in this and all Blockade posts and tutorials are intended to empower business-minded, hands-on bloggers who are serious about making money with their sites and who are on host I can work on. In Blockade happenings, woo, brr, it's cold here. How about where you are? You know, it's been below freezing for about a week, and then we got about an inch of ice here that will be hanging around until at least the weekend. Now, we were supposed to have about 4 to 6 inches of snow, and this is why all of the kids who were looking forward to building snowmen don't trust science or climate change, because the forecasters can't predict major weather events worth a flip. But according to the monthly forecast, this 2-week stretch of freezing temps may be all the real winter we see here. And then the warm-up starts. And I'll be so glad to get back out on my deck with Zach and my iPad or Chromebook to do all of the reading I have to do to keep up with this ever-changing industry and to write things like Tips Tuesday, too. But I have been very productive at my desk this week, and I'll share more of what's coming out for you in just a moment. And I've been so delighted to see all manner of activity from my Site Audit Plus clients in our private Facebook group this week. There have been some great questions about things folks are seeing on their site and with plugins, and everyone is helping everyone. That's the true power of the village, and I hope my other clients will jump in more often instead of just when you're having a problem, as you miss a lot. Plus, that group is where I ask for testing volunteers and such too, just like those who are helping with the test for the upcoming video SEO course. Now, I got more writing time in on it this past week, and I have 2 of the 4 sections nearly done. You know, it's been more productive to just write all I can for now in order to flesh out each tutorial and section. And then I'll go back and fill in what's missing, like more real-world examples or real-world test data. So I'm definitely making real progress on it, and I'll keep you posted. And have you been seeing strange things with your site or hosting or third-party platforms lately? You know, there seems to be a lot of that going around. In both the BB Hub and Webmaster Training groups, we've been seeing reports of odd happenings. Sometimes it's just one person experiencing it too. So that makes it super tough to nail down the root cause. But we're doing our best to try to address it and get folks the help they need. What weird things have you been seeing lately, And woohoo, this past week, I've been updating and revising more upcoming workshops for the DIY SEO course too. And because there's so much new info and tests to do this year, I got rid of the SEO site guidelines workshop and split that info into two new workshops with more testing and examples. Now, the first one is this week on ADA compliance, which is for accessibility standards. And then the first part of UX standards, which is user experience. And then next week, we'll dive into Core Web Vitals, which is about way more than speed and involves UX too. And the great thing about doing live workshops is we can do live testing and get your questions answered right then too, and or see more variety of issues to address in the course. And woo, in last week's Tips Tuesday, I mentioned that I had to put new deep speed testing on the front burner. Well, I made great headway with that and progress on two important fronts. I'm working with the dev of one of our favorite plugins to add new features, and I can't tell you what it is just yet, but I'm pretty excited about it, and I have the info I need to share with my top two webmaster designers so we can get to the bottom of issues caused by the load order of the theme and how to fix it. Now, we'll be meeting this week to go over all of that, and I'll keep you updated. And I want to give you an update on my site services. You know, the wait list for any site services is into May. Best guess, as it really depends on how the projects go. Now, as mentioned last week, site owners are wanting to go way deeper to squeeze out all of the speed and UX they can now. So projects are taking a bit longer than they used to. But I've also had 5 jobs come off the wait list due to them not being a good fit for the services I offer. Those new questions on the application forms for site services are really helping with this and ensuring that the site and the site owner are both a good fit for the services I offer and the way I offer them. You know, I don't offer any dump it on the tech services. I partner with hands-on site owners who are involved in their site's upkeep already, like knowing what their plugins do and keeping them updated and such. And I'm still working on better messaging. You know, I also sent a survey to my BB Hub members and asked them about what type of clients are and are not a good fit for my services. Plus, I asked about anything in my messaging that was not clear, or if they felt like they knew what they were getting into with things, like the site audit and such. Those responses were so super helpful. And I'll be sharing them in a live stream in our Facebook group today. And that will certainly help with the continued revamp of what's on my course and services pages too. Now, for these services, I've been able to help more site owners get a jump on their migration projects that are still on the wait list by advising that they transfer to a real domain registrar instead of using their host, and by getting on a third-party service like Google Workspace, formerly G Suite, for their domain-related email setup. And FYI, I have a guy who helps with that changeover. And that has helped us hit the ground running when we do open the project, as we don't immediately have those delays to contend with. And due to asking more questions, I've also helped a few site owners avoid disaster with a new theme they intended to swap to while on the wait list. And they sure would have regretted getting on that new theme that would have tanked their site speed and or even made it so I could no longer help them due to the way the theme devs tricked out the speed settings. And guys, I'm not the maid. Due to asking whether folks have had other techs work on their site, we've been able to avoid massive delays with them having to go back to that tech to remove all of that custom work done. You know, here's my take on it. If you're not happy with the work someone else did on your site, have them clean it up and put it back to standard. I'm not the maid. You know, there are 14 ways to do anything online, and each tech is going to have their own combo that they think works best. If that's not working as well as you thought it should, then the tech who did it needs to clean it up. Beyond that, I've decided that I don't want to take on the liability of pulling threads on a tapestry that may fall apart because I may not see some hidden thing they did on your site either. At least I've had the good sense not to learn that lesson the hard way. You know, the other side of this is, if those other techs who are my direct competition see enough of their clients asking them to remove what they did and for free, then maybe they will get the hint that their combo is not working or doesn't hold up over time. And they'll find a better way to do things that does work and doesn't rely on trickery that eventually bites the site owner in the butt. And that the site owner understands and can cooperate with. You know, this is why I partner with site owners and work with hands-on people so they can get and keep their site fast and secure. And if enough of my clients have to go back to that tech to have all that stuff undone, and then they see the difference in how I do things and how well it works, maybe the referrals will start changing and my name will be at the top instead of my competition. And thank you to all who do recommend me in blogging groups. I truly appreciate you. All right, y'all, that's all the happenings around here. Let's jump into this week's tips. In blogging tips, where do you compose blog posts? You know, it's a good idea to create your blog post drafts in something other than WordPress for two main reasons. You need a copy stored off your site. And then working in WordPress, choose up hosting resources. In fact, you also need to ensure you're logging out of your site when you're not actively using it due to how many resources it chews up. Now keep in mind that it has an active cookie state running that is constantly refreshing whatever admin page you're on. And if you're in the editor, it's also constantly saving drafts, which is even heavier on resource use. Now you can see it in your cPanel's AWS stats very clearly. And during site audits, I can see the site owner's IP address being pinged nearly as hard as all other traffic combined. You know, think of it like leaving the taxi meter running while you're in the restaurant eating. That's a serious waste of resources, and you pay more for the taxi than you do the meal that way. So be sure to log out. Now, I use Google Docs for writing my blog posts, as I can access them from my main computer and from my iPad or Chromebook when I'm out on the deck, weather permitting. Plus, Google Drive makes it easy to store posts in folders for whatever organizational arrangement makes sense to you. Now, if you think GDocs is missing a lot in formatting and such, there are ways to jazz it up to suit your needs. Go read this post I've got linked for you about how to use Google Docs for blogging on the Wordable blog. They have all manner of tips, including how to create your own blogging template. And they list the most used shortcut keys that will save you a bunch of time too, like how to bring up the word count and spell checker. Plus, they call out a bunch of GDocs add-ons that you may want to consider using. And they list helper services such as Grammarly and Trello too. It's well worth a read. Hey, do you think a blogging schedule and deadlines help or hurt? You know, many bloggers set up an editorial calendar for the year. That's especially true for DIY and foodie bloggers who need to hit seasonal posts in time to get their promotion well in place, like Pinterest and such. But for the rest of us, trying to set a schedule and deadlines, it's just nearly impossible. And for BlogAid, there are just too many news fires for me to plan much of anything. And for others, getting their entire household turned upside down with COVID has made it impossible to keep their normal blogging routine. So ProBlogger has a nice article about whether schedules and deadlines are a help or hindrance. And I think it's a super helpful read, regardless of whether you can or can't set or keep up with a blogging schedule. And it's a powerful read for those who have fallen behind with their blogging goals too. In WordPress tips, boy, was I glad to see this article on WP Tavern. Initially, the WordPress devs hoped to push out 4 releases in 2021. Now, the usual number is 3, and that's more than enough change in 1 year for us. Not only us as site owners, but us as plugin and theme devs too. So go read the post I've got linked for you for more details on this decision and why the release dates for WordPress 5.8 and beyond have been scratched out for now. And Lazy Load of iFrames is coming to WordPress 5.7. And I'm a little concerned about this feature because you'll now have the ability to lazy load iFrames. And while that will help speed up loading things like videos, if you use iFrames to embed them, then it will also impact ads that use iFrames too. And lazy load on iFrame ads is a no-no. So we're still in the beta testing for WordPress 5.7. And I have taken to waiting for the RC1, which is the first release candidate, before I jump in and do my testing. And how this new iFrame lazy load will be enabled is most definitely one of the things I'll be looking into for us. And woohoo! Another set of Gutenberg improvements is coming in WordPress 5.7 that will be to stabilize and improve the function of reusable blocks. I can hear you cheering. You know, I believe this is one of the most powerful features in Gutenberg, yet it's been plagued with stability issues from the day it rolled out. In fact, I saw a report from one of my webmaster members about instability on these blocks just this past week. So, I'm super glad to see it getting attention again, and I'll be running tests on it and its new enhancements as I update all block changes for my Gutenberg Ninja course, which I keep updated with every new WordPress release. Oh, and there's another big addition to the WordPress core in 5.7 that involves full site editing support. You know, there's a nice article on the Gutenberg Times site that details out the goals and timeline for FSE, or full site editing, as drawn up by Josepha Hayden, who is the executive director for the WordPress open source project. And she says, the goal is to make FSE an MVP, or minimal viable product, by April of 2021. And I think that statement tells it all. Full site editing requires a fully block-based theme so that every part of the theme can contain Gutenberg blocks. So this project is not just about creating more Goot blocks. This will radically alter how all WordPress themes are created. So let's talk about the future of WordPress themes. You know, last year, I began saying with emphasis that the death of all page and theme builders was in sight. And that list includes Thrive, Beaver Builder, WP Bakery, Divi, and Elementor, and others. And FYI, starting in March, Elementor is pushing a significant price increase for new subscribers to their pro version. Now, I just don't think any of these builders will survive more than 2 years outside of support for those designers and site owners who will just not give them up. And I have yet to see anything created with any of these builders that I can't exactly duplicate in Gutenberg. In fact, I teach you how to duplicate popular templates in my Gutenberg Ninja course. On the other hand, I don't think fully block-based themes will be viable for money-making sites until the end of 2021 or into 2022. So what theme do you use for now? If you're considering a new theme to help make your site faster and have better ADA and UX compliance, then it's perfectly safe and good to use the frameworks we have right now that are fully Gutenberg compliant but aren't fully block-based. In fact, I just paid for new sites and or upgrades on two of my sites. One is on the original Genesis framework and the other is on Astra Pro. So I'm putting my own money where my mouth is on this. And I think these themes will last me at least another 2 years as they are. And even then, support for them will continue for several more years, even after FSC compliant themes are out. So don't hesitate on swapping themes right now if that's on your agenda for this year. And get a good theme. Just ensure that you're getting a theme that is fully Gutenberg compliant and fast and does not use any trickery to be fast. Unfortunately, I've seen themes from agencies where themes are not their primary business. And site owners are not very happy when I point out the trickery that was used to make them fast or settings that are in the agency's favor more than the site owner's. Now, if you want a theme recommendation, you'll need to be a paying client, as I don't make public recommendations other than saying Genesis and Astra are good frameworks to use. But that's not to say that all Genesis or Astra child themes are okay. Some most certainly are not. And don't be asking me if the one you have your eye on is or isn't good, unless you are one of my paying clients with an open project. Else, it will need to be a paid consult to pick my brain and get the benefit of my expertise. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. Give me some love. Share this post with all your blogger buddies and blogger groups to support all the free and helpful info you get on Blog8 and to help your buddies. And be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.